Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football's History Headlines on the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch, we discuss the Cleveland Bulldogs' 1924 championship story, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays that include the likes of Bill Walsh, Bo Jackson, and Link Lyman. These stories and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of thepigskindispatch.com. And boy, do we have a big podcast for you today for your football history headlines of November 30th. It is filled to the brim with gridiron history that spans over three centuries worth. And we'll get started with it right now on November 30th, 1893. It was only the second time that these two schools met on the gridiron, but the early Auburn Tigers seemed to have figured out the game as Auburn thwarted Alabama 40-16 before a crowd in Montgomery, Alabama, in the second Iron Bowl contest. According to NCAA.com, the first Iron Bowl was played earlier that year on February 22nd, 1893. Stay tuned because we have plenty of more Iron Bowls to talk about in this edition of the Football History Headlines. But before that, we'll talk about November 30th, 1912, at the AAA grounds in Hamilton, Ontario. The home team Hamilton Alerts won their only Canadian title by surviving the Toronto Argonauts 11-4 in the fourth time the Grey Cup was played, per the OnThisDay.com website. November 30th, 1924. This day marked the end of the NFL season, and with it, the Cleveland Bulldogs had a slightly better record than the Chicago Bears, so in an era without the postseason playoffs, the Dogs were the champs. According to the American Football Database, the Bears were unsettled by this and challenged Cleveland to a postseason rematch. The Bears won the postseason contest just as they had done in 1921 when they challenged the Buffalo All-Americans, who had the best record, but George Halas and company declared themselves champs after winning the exhibition challenge. This time, when they did it in 1924, the NFL stepped in and declared that any games played after November 30th, 1924 were merely exhibition games that did not count against the 1924 NFL season. So the NFL 1924 champions were the Cleveland Bulldogs. Make sure you keep on listening until you get to our Hall of Fame birthday section where you'd learn about one of the Cleveland Bulldogs' great players. November 30th, 1929, at the AAA grounds in Hamilton, Ontario. OnThisDay.com tells us that the Hamilton Tigers won their fourth title as they outscored the Regina Rough Riders 14-3 in the 17th edition of the Canadian Grey Cup. November 30th, 1937. The third time that the Heisman Trophy was awarded, it went to Clint Frank, the halfback from Yale University. Heisman.com has a great photo on their site that we have a link to on PigskinDispatch.com in this article for this November 30th that shows the ballot of one of those 1937 voters. November 30th, 1940, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto. Website cbc.ca tells us that the Ottawa defeated Toronto's Balmy Beach 8-2 in this controversial and unique Grey Cup contest. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers were not able to play in the game to defend their title due to a rules dispute with league officials. So, to be fair, the powers that be initiated a two-game Grey Cup to be determined the winner. Both games were played in heavy snow, and Ottawa came out on top as the champs. November 30th, 1946, per the IrishLegends.com website, the Irish clinched their first of two straight national titles by romping past USC 26-6 at Notre Dame Stadium. November 30th, 1946, the CFL Grey Cup was determined at Varsity Stadium in Toronto as the Toronto Argonauts claimed their seventh championship and retained their title with a 28-6 win over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. November 30th, 1954, the 20th Heisman Trophy Award went to Alan Ameche of the University of Wisconsin, who was a fullback there. Ameche was a rugged, tough runner and earned the nickname of the Iron Horse, according to Heisman.com's website. The site's bio on Allen also states that Ameche ordered All-American honors for the third time as a senior, rushing for 641 yards and 9 touchdowns, while again playing on both offense and defense and averaging 55 minutes of playing time per game. He finished his career as the NCAA's all-time leading rusher with 3,345 yards and was awarded the Heisman Trophy over Kurt Burris of Oklahoma and Howard Cassidy of Ohio State. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I'm going to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
November 30th, 1957, Varsity Stadium, Toronto, Ontario. The 45th Grey Cup final was the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who took home their second CFL title after they dispatched the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 32-7. The website CFL.ca has all the full story recap, as you might want to check that one out. We have a link to it on our website, pigskindispatch.com. November 30th, 1957, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, the 22nd Iron Bowl was an extremely one-sided affair as the Auburn Tigers dominated Alabama 40-0, as shared by the OnThisDay.com website. November 30th, 1959, the fledgling American Football League chooses former World War II ace pilot and former governor of South Dakota, Joe Foss, as the first commissioner of the AFL, per the South Dakota HOF website. Joe Foss's leadership made the NFL extremely uncomfortable as he made a lucrative television deals, including the initial five-year $10.6 million contract with ABC in 1960, and later with NBC for even bigger returns to the broadcast of AFL games. Foss led the upstart league until 1965, about 2 months prior to the talks when the NFL started considering working together instead of being rivals to promote professional football. November 30th, 1959. Once again, the NFL draft was held, this time for the upcoming 1960 season. Heisman Trophy winner halfback Billy Cannon from the 1959 national champion LSU Tigers was the top pick of the draft by the Los Angeles Rams. Cannon was also the territorial or bonus pick of the new AFL draft as well earlier on November 22, 1959, by the Houston Oilers per a SaturdayDownSouth.com website story. His contract rights were fought in a court of law, and Billy ended up playing in the NFL with Houston and later with the Oakland Raiders. Billy led the Oilers to back-to-back AFL championships in 1960 and 61. He also led the AFL in total yards in 1961, going over 2,000 yards for the season. He scored the game-winning touchdown in the 1960 championship game and was the MVP of both title games he played in for the AFL. Injury forced him to play tight end with the Raiders, where he played in the first Super Bowl victory for that organization. Billy Cannon finished his great career as a member of the KC Chiefs. November 30th, 1963, at Empire Stadium in Vancouver, the CFL's 51st Grey Cup had the Hamilton Tiger Cats beating up on the BC Lions 21-10. The game featured a very controversial sequence involving American players Angelo Mosca and Willie Fleming, which my fellow Sports History Network podcast host Oz Davis tells in great detail on his episode number 3 of the Truly the Goats podcast. You can find that on the sportshistorynetwork.com. November 30th, 1963, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, Auburn scored their first points in 5 seasons in the series in this 28th playing of the Iron Bowl. The points were not much, but they were just enough to hold off the Crimson Tide as Auburn survives Alabama 10-8 in the game. Warbloggle.com has a great story on the game that pitted the 6th-ranked Tide, led by signal caller Joe Namath, against the number 9 in the nation Tigers and their nifty quarterback Jimmy Seidel. But obviously, as the score indicates, it was a defensive battle where the D's were the stars of this game. November 30th, 1968, at CNE Stadium in Toronto, the Ottawa Roughriders defeated the Calgary Stampeders 24-21 in the 56th playing of the CFL's Grey Cup. The site sportsteamhistory.com fills us in that the most valuable player was Vic Washington, whose 79-yard scoring run in the contest set a Grey Cup record and had a huge impact on the outcome of this championship game for the Canadian Football League. November 30th, 1968, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, those who watched the 33rd Iron Bowl were in for a real treat. The Paul W. Bryant Museum.com is a must-visit place, by the way, shares a great clip on YouTube that shows us how the Alabama Crimson Tide defeated Auburn 24-16 in this classic matchup. November 30th, 1969, at Autostade Stadium in Montreal, it was the first CFL Grey Cup played on a Sunday in a matchup of the Rough Riders against the Rough Riders. The Montreal Gazette gives us the detail of this 57th version of the Cup, which had the Ottawa Rough Riders come out on top as they knocked off the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 29-11. November 30th, 1976, the voters for the 42nd Heisman Trophy Award really didn't have much deliberation as there was one clear choice that season. Tony Dorsett, the running back from the University of Pittsburgh, had helped his team go to an undefeated season and an eventual national championship. Dorsett set 18 NCAA rushing records that season, according to Heisman.com's bio on him. Tony Dorsett averaged 215 yards rushing per game en route to leading the nation in rushing with 1,948 yards in the 1976 season. November 30th, 1985, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, AL.com shares a great article with us on the 50th Iron Bowl. This game has come down to be remembered as many as called the kick. You have to watch a video that we have on our PigskinDispatch.com article, as well as reading the AL.com story to fully appreciate what happened in the last 57 seconds of this classic SEA contest, which saw Alabama come from behind to get past Auburn 25-23. In particular, you have to see the block by Alabama quarterback Mike Shula that he lays on an unsuspecting defender to spring a runner on the crucial fourth down play that led to the victory. November 30th, 1986, at BC Place in Vancouver. In the 74th Grey Cup game for the CFL Championship, it was the Hamilton Tiger Cats who defeated the Edmonton Eskimos by the score of 39-15 for the OnThisDay.com website. November 30th, 1991, at Legion Field in Birmingham. The annual SEC matchup of Alabama and Auburn was another dandy in the 56th Iron Bowl. This would be the last time Auburn would be the home team in the series played at Legion Field, as the Tigers brass insisted that the future Auburn-hosted contest be played at Auburn's Jordan-Hare Stadium. Alabama spoiled the nostalgia of the Tigers fans, though, as the Tide outlasted Auburn 13-6 in an exciting game. November 30th, 1993, in Rosemont, Illinois, the Jacksonville Jaguars franchise is officially launched. Jaguars.com shares a story of how NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue surprised the viewers when he announced that the league's 30th franchise would be based in Jacksonville, when the front-running cities seemed to be St. Louis, Baltimore, or Memphis. November 30th, 2013, at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama, the 78th edition of the Iron Bowl series had to be one of the most stunning endings of all time. With little time remaining, Alabama lined up to attempt a 56-yard field goal to break a 28-28 tie. What happened has to be witnessed in the video that we have on PigskinDispatch.com, as it shows the emotion of the announcers that's priceless. In short, the kick fell short, and Auburn's Chris Davis caught the kick in the back of the end zone and raced 109 yards to pay dirt to put the Auburn Tigers on top as they overcame the Tide of Alabama 34-28 in one of the most dramatic and unexpected endings of all time. November 30th, 2014, at BC Place in Vancouver, the Calgary Stampeders squeaked past the Hamilton Tiger Cats 20-16 for their seventh championship in the 102nd playing of the CFL's Grey Cup. As CBC.ca covers the action, you can check that link out on our website, PigskinDispatch.com, to get to that story. November 30th, 2019, it was another classic matchup of these two SEC teams and national powerhouses at the 83rd Iron Bowl, which pitted this number 16 Auburn Tigers against the number 5 in the nation Alabama Crimson Tide. According to the AuburnTigers.com website, the scoring was in great supply as Auburn, fueled by two pick sixes, held on after a late missed field goal to win 48-45 over their rivals Alabama. Okay, it's time in that program that we get to our Hall of Fame birthdays for this November 30th. And this first birthday boy we're going to talk about, we spoke of earlier when we talked about the Cleveland Bulldogs Championship in 1924. Yes, November 30th, 1898, in Table Rock, Nebraska, it was William Roy Link Lyman, the tackle from Nebraska, that came into this world. Link was a large player in the early 20s, as he stood 6'2" and weighed in at 233 pounds. Lyman was a member of three straight NFL championships teams, the 1922 and 1923 Canton Bulldogs, and the then 1924 Cleveland Bulldogs team that we spoke of earlier. Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio on Lyman then tells us that in 1925, he joined the Chicago Bears barnstorming tour, featured the legendary Red Grange. He stayed with the Bears the balance of his career, and even won another NFL championship with the team in 1933. Lyman made the shifting the Dean Lyman around the normal standard when others saw the success of this maneuver. All in all, Link's 16 years combined of college and pro careers, he only went through one losing season. Link Lyman entered into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 1964. November 30th, 1931, in Los Angeles, California, Bill Walsh, the innovative NFL coach, was born. Walsh received his first head coaching stint with the San Francisco 49ers in 1979 at the age of 47. Coach had a keen eye for talent and knew how to use it with his offensive system, later referred to as the West Coast Offense. The Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio on Walsh tells us that for his coaching career, his teams went 102 wins, 63 losses, and one tie, won three Super Bowls. Bill W. was the NFL Coach of the Year in 1981 and the NFC's Coach of the Year for the 1984 season. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined head coach Bill Walsh in 1993's induction class. November 30th, 1962, in Bessemer, Alabama, Bo Jackson, the sensational halfback from Auburn University, was born. Bo was on the starting offense all four seasons that he attended Auburn, which was quite a feat in and of itself. The footballfoundation.org bio on Bo tells us that he was a consensus All-American as a sophomore in 1983. In 1984, he had a shoulder injury and was missed six games. He came back in 1985 and was a unanimous All-American selection. He averaged 6.6 yards every time he ran the ball from scrimmage. After the 1985 season, Jackson earned the votes to receive the Heisman Trophy for his efforts during that season. The National Football Foundation voted Bo Jackson to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1998. And after his graduation, Jackson played pro football with the Los Angeles Raiders from 86 through 90 and had a Major League Baseball contract with the Kansas City Royals for the 1986 through the 1990 season as well. And the Chicago White Sox he played for in 1991 through 93 and with the California Angels in 1994. We told you there was a lot of football history headlines for the November 30th edition, and tomorrow on December 1st edition, we see even more as we talk about Marino reaching another NFL milestone. More Heisman winners were announced, and we start seeing conference championship game results all on the December 1st football history headlines, so make sure you tune in tomorrow by subscribing on this embed player, checking us out at your favorite podcast provider, or looking at pigskindispatch.com or sportshistorynetwork.com to make sure you don't miss a single second of this podcast. And also, while you're at sportshistorynetwork.com, check out the other great podcasts we have on sports history, including many of them that are on football history. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.